And now it's time for On Our Minds. Like you, we were shocked and saddened this week to hear about the death of Robin Williams. He was such a brilliant, zany, even manic performer. But Williams also had a gentle side, and it shone through in a conversation he had with fellow comedian Marc Maron a few years ago. This was on Maron's WTF podcast. So here's Steve Paulson's conversation with Marc Maron about the inner lives of comedians and the sadness that often haunts the best.
Now, the episode that really put you on the map was your conversation with Robin Williams. And this was not the usual Robin Williams that we've heard, sort of that, you know, hyperdrive manic Robin Williams. He was actually pretty laid back and real. Can you tell me about that interview?
Well, you know, he's a pretty sweet guy when you hang around. He was always, oddly, fairly accessible when you run into him at a comedy club or something and you sit and chat with him. If there's not too many people around, he's almost shy and very sweet. And I think that once he agreed to do it, you know, I drove up to his place up in the Bay Area. It was 11 in the morning. It was at his home. There was no one there. It was just the two of us with two microphones. And I don't think that there was anyone really to perform for. And I think he was at a point in his life where he'd had a relapse on alcohol. He'd had heart surgery. You know, he was looking at some darkness, and, you know, he'd gone through a divorce. And there was a vulnerability there that I certainly understood. And I think that he was ready to talk about and to talk about it in a candid way. You know, you've had all this stuff, and that, you know, there really is a certain degree of, like, it doesn't matter.
Big time.
It just doesn't matter.
That's the kind of the freedom, the ultimate freedom of letting go in a weird way. Like when you talked about all this stuff, you know, the shit that they say about you. And I know it's out there, and it used to be, it would immobilize me.
And now it would hurt your feelings.
Oh, it hurts everything. You just kind of go, well, I shouldn't perform. Then going, no, you love performing. Go out and perform. People will say good things. People will say bad things. It's the nature of the world. It's like you say, it's like Tina Fey once said, if you're ever feeling really good about yourself, there's this thing called the internet. Now, at this point in your life, going on stage, being around people you have a good time with, and seeing people like Pearl, seeing people like Overton, and hanging out with friends, and you go, oh God, and hanging with you, even when we're at the Comedy Cellar, going upstairs and just riffing, go, that's worth it to me more than worrying about, oh, how am I doing?
You know, it almost sounds like some of these podcasts kind of function like therapy. You know, people getting stuff off their chest and for some reason telling it to the world, at least those people who follow you, gets rid of something out of their deep black box.
People come to it with different expectations. Some people are willing to talk. Some people want to talk. The Todd Hanson episode around this type of conversation that you and I are having was really the most profound as an event. And I think a lot of times...
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, Todd Hanson was really the original head writer of The Onion for most practical purposes. He was there at the ground floor, you know, comes from up in your area.
Right.
I'd known him for years, and I'd always liked him. We didn't talk much, but, like, we were all in the same circle. And I had scheduled an interview with him in New York. I was there for a few days doing a live WTF in Brooklyn. And I said, look, let's do an interview. Let's do this. Why don't you meet me at my hotel? So Todd comes over to the hotel, and he basically says, yeah, I've been to this hotel before. And this is off mic, and I said, what do you mean? He goes, I came here, and I checked in, and I had no intention of checking out. So off mic, I said, well, what are we going to do here? Are we going to talk about this, or what do you want to do? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know. So we did the interview. And we talked for an hour about The Onion, about its impact, about, you know, where it came from, where he came from. And at the end, he just said, look, maybe we have more to talk about another time, but I really appreciate, you know, whatever he said. I'm paraphrasing. So that was the end of that interview. And I just kind of held on to it. I said, look, you know, if you want to talk about this, the other thing, we can do a second part to this. And he's like, okay, I'll think about it. So I didn't put up that first interview. I just held on to it. And a few months later, you know, he said, I think I can talk about it. So I said, okay. So I met him at his apartment, and he, you know, he walked me through that day and those feelings and the repercussions of taking that action. And, how it affected him and others, and how he felt now. And I posted those two together. Now, what we talked about, though, that you wanted to make sure that we talked about.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry to all those people. I mean,
about the selfishness.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, I mean, I talked about this a little bit, that I had left this note saying, oh, you know, I'm really sorry. But that wasn't good enough, you know? It's a selfish thing to do, to take people's love and not give it back, you know? And if you abandon them, then all of the investment of love that they gave you is, you just transmute it into pain, and it's not fair to them. So, I mean, not only do I thank all of those people, but I also apologize to them. I mean, I've said this to all of them many times, and they're sick and tired of hearing it, to be honest, but I just thought it was important to say, not only thank you, but I'm sorry. And it will not happen again.
And that had a profound effect on me, on hundreds and hundreds of listeners who sent emails, who had dealt with that, those feelings themselves, or had family members that they could never understand how that family member could do that or try to do that. And it just shed a lot of light in a very intimate way on a profound, horrible human reality that is completely selfish and mysterious to people that don't have those kind of feelings.
Now, we started out by talking about where you were when you first created WTF. I mean, you know, your life was a wreck at that point. Is it fair to say that comedy has saved your life again?
Absolutely. It saved my life in a very unusual way. You know, the pride that comes from creating something successful and taking some risks and earning a little money from it is something I never have experienced before. And to feel like you've earned your money and that you've earned your success is something I never thought I would feel. I was washed up, buddy, and that's a reality.
Hmm. So given what you've been through, I'm wondering if you have any advice for people, comic or not, whose life has bottomed out, about how to climb out of that pit.
Well, just realize that you can be disappointed, but what's important is that you're alive, you're healthy, you got people that love you and depend on you, is to not ruin all that because you think you failed.
Comedian Mark Maron talking with Steve Paulson. You can hear the extended interview on our website. And we only played a bit of that extraordinary conversation Mark Maron had with Robin Williams. The full thing is really worth listening to. You'll find the link on our website. Robin Williams' unique brilliance is gone, but he left an extraordinary body of work behind him.